Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Personalize Your Faith with your Personalize Your Faith coach, LaTanya Price. Because of working with LaTanya, Christian women are more determined and empowered to personalize their faith by making positive, effective life changes. With increased self-awareness, trusted knowledge, discovering their spiritual DNA, and a distinctive plan of action, they achieve boldness and confidence to unleash their supernatural abilities for unlimited possibilities.
Hello, LaTanya Price here with another Personalize Your Faith show. I am so thankful for another opportunity, another chance, if you will, and another chance, if you will, to just be able to offer some encouraging words, some empowering words, to be able to have a chance for people to hear some encouraging words. Because I know oftentimes, sometimes we don't know where the next encouraging word is going to come from. And sometimes, you know, we ask God, Lord, I need some encouragement today. I know I do. I'll say, Lord, I need some encouragement today. And sure enough, out of the blue, something pops up or somebody might say something, somebody might text me something, and there it is. There's the encouragement I needed for the day. So I am really thankful just to be able to maybe slide into that slot of being able to bless somebody. And so I definitely do not count it not a privilege to be able to do so. Of course, as always, you always hear the intro, but I love to reiterate, as a result of working with me, Christian women are more determined and empowered to personalize their faith by fearlessly writing and self-publishing their story with increased technical knowledge, discovering their inner creativity, and developing a powerful plan of action. They experience excitement and confidence to unleash their supernatural abilities for unlimited possibilities as a published author. And I know that we've kind of been discussing different topics because of kind of like the refocusing of my past here that I've been doing. And so to really close out 2017, I wanted to hit some topics that are specific when it comes to the birthing process of your book. But these topics are very broad to the extent of whatever it is that God is kind of placing in your heart to complete the assignment that he told you. So it's definitely a, you know, some topics that, you know, you can take away and really just be able to kind of apply to whatever it is that you are seeking to really accomplish. And so to kind of just continue on, of course, the last couple of things we've been discussing transparency, and then we discussed, you know, the power behind it and its purpose. And then also the actual power of you know, not letting fear punk us and have to make fear our punk. We did that also. And so what we're going to do now is just really kind of, we're nearing the end of the year. Like I've been saying, this 2017, I'm telling you, it went by so fast. It's been a great year. There's been tough times there, but there's been good times. And through it all, I'm just thankful that we made it. How about that? We made it. And so I want to really look at a couple of things as we close out, because I know some of us might be thinking, oh, man, I really didn't accomplish all I wanted to accomplish. You know, I didn't get a chance to really finish, or I didn't really get a chance to really do that what I wanted to do because of life situations, because life happens. Even as someone that helps as a coach, if you will, no matter what kind of coaching, consulting, or whatever you might be doing, if you will, we try to set goals. We try to set, We try to set timelines, if you will. If that timeline is not met or our deadline isn't met, I mean, yeah, it can be very disappointing. However, what I want to kind of offer in these last little, in these particular shows, I really want to encourage to understand that everything does take time. And if by chance you kind of got to reschedule, recalculate, if you will, recalibrate, if you will, but your goals, do it. Do it. It's okay. Do that. Don't give up. Just recalibrate, recalculate, and just keep pressing. So today what I'm going to just say is, what I want to kind of maybe just talk about right now at the moment, is the birthing process. It takes time. Oh my goodness, it takes time. It takes time. So whatever your goal is, you have to do something. It doesn't magically appear, as we all should hopefully know. It doesn't magically appear. It won't come from fairy dust. It only comes from taking action. And we really need to understand what those actions are, what they all involve, what it's going to take. Are you going to have to ask for some help? Are you going to have to maybe get some financial help, to personal help? Maybe somebody got to watch your kids while you go to school. Maybe somebody got to, you know, maybe they can cook a meal or two for the week because you're not going to be able to. Something, you know. So it's going to have to be some kind of detailed plan of action, if you will, that you are really going to have to really look at, because whatever the goal is, you are going to have to do something. No matter what that goal is, it's going to take some kind of action. It's going to take some kind of movement, thought, emotion. It's going to take a lot to really get to that goal. It's going to take prayer. It's going to take fasting. But it's going to take even more than that. Those are actions. And I'm not saying those aren't powerful actions, but it's even going to take more than that. I think a lot of times we get so caught up in the praying and the fasting and we understand the dynamics and the power behind it. But there's an action that has to take place. After we get done fasting, after we get done praying, there should be a change to the point where now we take action. We take the appropriate action. We take the necessary action. Where maybe we have to say no. Maybe we have to reschedule. Maybe we have to say, you know what, I can't do that today because I have to spend more time here. You know, so we want to take a look at that. We have to do something. If our goal, let's say, for example, if our goal is to get out of debt, for just example, we want to pay off debt. Let's say we got thousands in credit card debt, right? 10,000 in credit card debt. We pray, we fast. Heck, we lay some of the credit card bills on the altar. Some churches, you know, they have that whole altar burning, or I'll bring your problems to the altar. We'll pray over them. You know, people take their bills to the altar and they lay them on the altar, you know. But even after you do that, if you have to look at your actions, you have to look at your actions. You have to see what's kind of going on. What are you really spending money on? Is it really necessary? Is it really needed? Do you really need the constant Starbucks $8, $10 drink every day? Every day? Do you really need that? Do you really need a Big Mac meal every day or every other day? Do you really need that? So you have to really kind of look at that. You have to really look at those things. And that's what I mean by you have to do something. You have to do something. It's going to require some changes to take place in your mind, in your actions, in your words, in your thought process. It's going to take something. It won't be easy, but it will be worth it. True value is often determined by the amount of pressure, not the amount of exchange. When we think about gold, diamonds, those things that comes with a very hefty price tag. It really is something that we have to really think about, like, why all of a sudden the diamond that's been cut, when we think about it, it's a damaged rock, right? It's a cut up rock when we think about it. But the price tag on it can be in the upwards of millions for a cut rock. $1 million for a cut rock? Really? But why is that? Why is that? You know? So even in the pressure that we will go through when it comes to accomplishing a thing, it's going to have worth. It's going to have worth. It got to have a value. God's glory comes with a value. It comes with value. And the only way people can see that value is if pressure is applied. That's the only way. The anointing comes with a cost. That anointing is based upon that amount of pressure that you endure. And that's how it gets stronger. That's how it increases in its value, if you will, to help you continue on in life and overcome the next obstacle, overcome the next struggle. You will get, and I'm going to say this, you will get, I've gotten it, trust me, you'll get emotionally, spiritually, and physically exhausted at times. Yes, you will. You will get exhausted. There are times, even with like my fibromyalgia, it'll be a year in November since being diagnosed with fibromyalgia. The level of fatigue that I've been feeling at times really is no comparison to what I can describe with others that may not have a condition or chronic condition. Just feeling exhausted physically. And then, of course, with just life in general, I'll end up being spiritually or emotionally exhausted. It takes a toll sometimes, which may explain why some people allow fear to win all the time, procrastination to win all the time, because nobody really wants to go through the process. Nobody likes being exhausted. Nobody likes being drained, especially if it's really just them. You know, for example, you know, somebody coming to dump all their problems on you or pull from you is one thing. But if it's you pressing and you working and you really are giving it your all, and you can look around and say, you know what, nobody's really bothering me. Nobody. Why am I so tired? Sometimes it gets exhausting. Doing what's right, doing the best that we can, it gets exhausting. And, you know, we have to keep in mind that in due season, a change will come. And I think a lot of times people, they get impatient. And I think I mentioned this before on a previous show, how we get impatient because of the timing conflict, our timing and God's timing. And we think because we felt something in the spirit, or it was prophesied to us, or we sowed a seed when the man or woman of God said sow a seed, and in so many days something will happen, but nothing does. Or we prayed and we fasted, and the manifestation that we anticipated doesn't happen. we become impatient, and then we begin to get doubtful, fearful, and we start to examine, when is the change coming? When will I finally be able to touch and feel and smell the promise? Sometimes I do believe this, and this is just something that, as you know, even myself in life is learning constantly. Manifestations may not always be the tangible as it is a state of mind, as it is a level of peace, because many people just want stability. And a lot of people try to equate that stability with a lot of money, a really nice car, a really big house. They think that's stable. They think that's the ultimate stability. But honestly, peace of mind is. Can that be achieved with knowing that your bills are covered and different things like that? Absolutely. But guess what? Honestly, if you live according to what you really need, your bills can be paid. You can have peace. You don't need the really big fancy car. You don't need it. You just need a vehicle that's going to work. that's going to get you from point A, point B, point C, where you should be going. You don't need the really expensive one. You don't need the really bigger house. They're nice to have, but is not necessary. It's not necessary. So, yes, your bills can be paid if you live accordingly. And I'm not knocking people that have lots of money and that are living in nicer homes. But I guarantee they're going to tell you they had to live according to what they could before they got to that level. And it's not to say that God can't bring you to a level where you do have a bigger home and you're able to afford the car and you're still having stability and different things like that. But it's a process, once again. It's a process to even get to that point. So we must understand that a change will come. I'm going to say this, and some people are going to be upset. It's okay to let them see you sweat. We know the phrase, and I think it's an old phrase. What's it from? I don't know if it's from a song. Forgive me. Maybe I'm a youngin' for some people when I say this. I know it used to be a phrase, you know, they say, don't ever let them see you sweat. I'm going to contradict that because I'm going to say it's okay. It's okay to let them see you sweat. I'm saying this because people saw Jesus sweat. Why wouldn't they see us sweat? Imagine Jesus up on that cross. It wasn't a cold winter's day when that happened. It was sun. It was sun. And you have to realize that if it wasn't sun out, they wouldn't have been able to see the sun setting and all of that descriptive being there for a reason. So obviously with the sun out, it's pretty toasty. It's pretty hot. He was sweating. People saw that. So why shouldn't it be okay for people to see you sweat? I'm not saying that you're literally doing it for the purpose of pity, or you're trying to get people's attention in the wrong factor. That's not what I'm saying. It just proves that you're human, just as the next person. I think sometimes we miss that factor. We miss that point of transparency, if you will, of letting people know that we too are human. We too have it, you know, we all are dealing with something. We all are dealing with something. We all are dealing with a struggle, a storm, a typhoon, whatever you want to label it as. It's okay. And usually when they see you sweat or they see you in that, you know, in a predicament, but then they see you months later and you're no longer sweating, it proves that you made it. And guess what? That means they can make it. It means the next person can make it. And like I said, I think we miss that. I think we get so caught up in, yeah, I truly believe that, you know, people should not be in your business like that. People are going to be nosy regardless. People are going to have their opinions. People are going to have their two cents or therapeutic or psychological or psychoanalytical advice, thinking that even though they have no degrees in that, no PhDs, but they're going to give a PhD opinion, their man-made PhD opinion. But we really have to get past that, because people are going to do it anyway. We have to get past people seeing us in a predicament, because the first thing that sometimes we Christians will think people are going to think is like, oh man, they think I sinned and now I'm getting punished, or I did something terrible and this or that, and they're going to think, oh my God, because of this, I did this. I hate to say this, even with people with cancer sometimes, and I use cancer just because I'm a cancer survivor, even people with cancer, they end up with cancer. And we know with women, breast cancer is common, but breast cancer is definitely not the only thing. But we get to this point where we don't want to tell people we got cancer, because the first thing people going to think of, oh, they're going to think I've been smoking. Oh, they're going to think I've been smoking. Oh, they're going to think I'm this. They're going to think I'm that. Because, you know, smoking isn't healthy for you. What does it matter what they think you've done? That's like me when I had my cancer. I was only 14, but let's just say I was older. Now, my cancer was in my colon. Now, the mass is in my colon. So you could only imagine what people's crazy brains can think of. Like, it was in her colon. What was she doing for cancer to get in the colon? And now we're at a state where, now we're at a point in society where everything we eat causes cancer. So, but in that time, it was in the 90s. That wasn't necessarily a big talk, if you will, at that time, as pertinent as it is now about what we eat and how it can definitely cause health issues. But yeah, what if I would have allowed people's crazy thoughts make me want to hide the fact I had cancer? You know? And I'll even admit, when my hair did fall out and I was going to high school, I really wanted to just say, it was weird, because a part of me didn't mind saying I had cancer, but then there was another part of me that I had cancer, but then I didn't want people's sympathy. So I would just say I've been sick. And this was really in the very beginning stages of trying to explain to people. and I'm 14 and I'm 15. And I'm like, I was 15 by that time, because I was homeschooled for a while. But then when I finally started going to school, back to school, the story just got to be out of hand. And eventually, because I was like, I just told people I was sick and I was sick and I didn't start. So I've been homeschooled. That's what it was. And then finally, I was like, look, I got cancer. Or I had cancer, I should say. I told him I had cancer, so I went through chemo. Now my hair's fell out, so my hair's coming back. When I finally started saying that was so much easier. It was so much easier. But I didn't want people to know I had cancer for some reason. You know, as a child, you know, when you think of cancer, sometimes you think of, oh, man, you're about to die. Which isn't the most positive thing to think of course. But, hey, that's what people think. So it's definitely, we really have to ensure that although people's going to see us sweat, it's okay. Jesus was definitely out in the open when he suffered, when he was going through, when he was sweating. If Jesus would have taken into consideration what people were saying to him or about him or to him or doing to him even, and said, you know what, I can't do this, we wouldn't have salvation as it is today. We wouldn't have the guaranteed victory, the guaranteed promise. We wouldn't have it. We wouldn't have it. So consider that when you think about the process. And it does take work. It does take work. So remember, you know, whatever your goal is, you have to do something. You got to take some action. It won't be easy, but it will be worth it. And it's okay to let them see you sweat. It is quite all right. It's quite all right, because that lets them know you just as human. All right. So how to connect with me and how to stay in touch with me, visit my website, www.latanyaprice.com. Of course, you can sign up to receive some free ebook, and different things that'll be out there, to join my email list. But of course, if you stay connected with me on social media platforms like Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, you'll also be able to stay up to date on different releases, different events, and different things like that. Like I said, there are some coaching. There's some video coaching program, Unleash Your Testimony, that is available. And then, of course, there's one-on-one, but definitely send your feed, you know, fill out the form on that page to really inquire what is available, because I know with my schooling and different things like that I am involved in, I'm making everything very structured and very organized, so that way things are done in such a way where not only I can give and devote my time to you one-on-one, to an individual one-on-one, but also not to overfill my own plate when it comes to that. So as God continues to lead, he's bringing about changes. And I do feel there are going to be some awesome and powerful changes yet to come. So I'm definitely excited. So to end out, of course, we're going to say a word of prayer. God, once again, we just come telling you, thank you, God. You're such an awesome God. You're such an amazing God. God, we know this life is a process. We know that what we go through, man, sometimes it looks a lot easier just throwing that towel. It looks a lot easier just to say, you know what, forget it. But God, I thank you for giving stories like you do in the Bible of the people that never gave up. I thank you for the teaching in the New Testament on how what happens when you don't give up and what the reward is for being diligent and remaining faithful. God, I just know you're going to bring about a change, and it's going to be beautiful for people to behold. Continue to keep the people. I plead the blood of Jesus over their lives and their families' lives. Touch every Christian leader that is making a change. God will continue to give you praise, honor, and the glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have a blessed rest of the week. Bye.